Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs, and I have a wonderful show for you today here on 3K12 Education Talk Radio. We're going to touch on community college education as well today with Dr. Willie Thomas, who is the assistant to the president for equity and inclusion down at Cleveland State Community College in Tennessee. And we also have a special guest, someone we love working with here at ace-ed.org and here on Education Talk Radio, Amelia Layton Gamma, who we work with on teacher retention. And we have developed some training. She has developed some training, which we are working with, which is called a compassionate teaching reset. The whole idea is to reignite teacher passion, okay, reset the faculty, reset your thinking for the classroom, okay, and to start to move forward as we struggle with teacher retention challenges at every level of education nationwide, and everybody knows that's a big deal. So I'm Larry Jacobs, and that's what our show is going to be about today. We're going to archive it over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website. Okay, you can see what we're doing with Amy over at teacher-retention.com, but it is linked under professional learning at ace-ed.org. And you can also link over to seltoday.org, our other website, all this from ace-ed, and all our podcasts are over there as well. So without further ado, early in the day, 8 o'clock on Friday morning, okay, the 18th day after St. Paddy's Day, hope you're all doing all right, okay, March 18th, 2022, let me bring on both Willie, okay, and Amy, and we'll start, as we always do, ladies first. Amy, my good friend, welcome to today's show.
Good morning, Larry. How are you this morning?
Well, I don't know yet. It's too early. It's only 8 a.m., for goodness sake. I'll let you know about 9:30 or so, okay?
But well, I seem to be alive.
And by the way, Amy's real name is Amelia Layton Gamble, but I've gotten into the habit of calling her Amy. Willie, do you call her Amy or Amelia?
I call her Amelia.
Amelia. Okay, we're going to have to work on that, sir. Willie. Good morning, Willie. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be here joining Amelia on the podcast. So I'm looking forward to it. Excited.
Oh, it's going to be excellent. Actually, I'm going to start right off with you. We're going to talk about teacher retention and her training and what it's all about. But Willie, you're the assistant to the president of the college for equity.
Yes,
not Biden. You're not the assistant to the president for Biden. You're the assistant to the president of Cleveland State Community College for equity and inclusion. And just tell us about Cleveland State Community College, okay, and
yes,
what
sir.
Do you do there. Just give us the whole picture.
Yes, sir. We're located in Cleveland, Tennessee. We have approximately maybe about 3,000 students. We sit on the outside, about 25 miles outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. I love Chattanooga.
Yes, sir. Some of my responsibilities, it includes just compliance, all things equity and inclusion, but also I'm looking for areas where we can infuse diversity and inclusion and equity into whether it's curriculum and our practices, and just making sure that we're creating a place for everyone and not just for the for certain individuals.
Right. And can you describe the demographics, please, just so we might know of the college? And I might add of your faculty, if you wish. Go ahead.
We're about 88%. We're in a rural area, one of the most rural areas of Tennessee. So we're about 88% white demographics, with about 6% black, and about another 5% Hispanic. Those figures are also similar to our enrollment. So we have about 6 or 7% black and 5 or 6% Hispanic. With the majority, of course, 85% being white. Our faculty consists of, we have probably about maybe a little over 100 teachers and instructors that instructs there, and probably another 100 other people that works in various things as it relates to staff.
That's cool. By the way, I just have to ask, when students go, what's the big major there? What's the big attraction major? Do you know?
Oh, wow.
Is there one?
Well,
at Cleveland State
College, at Community College, we're known, of course, for things like our nursing department. We're known for things right. as relates to our advanced technology, our wildlife program. But with community colleges, we were ranked as far as the top college, lead college in Tennessee in 2019. And the only reason we didn't get it in 2020 and 2021 is you only can win it once. But our president has all. We're also achieving the Dream League College across the nation. So we're nationally known for the work that we've done because we deal many times with a lot of marginalized and under-resourced students.
Yes.
At that community.
Right. That's a good segue over to Amy, and that achieving the dream, as has been explained to me by Amelia, if I may, Professor Gamble, is really, really important. And I still have to do Amy. I can't do Amelia anymore. Amy, talk to me about talk to me about that achieving the dream, okay, and then put your training into that particular area.
Yeah, so Achieving the Dream, as Lily mentioned, is nationally recognized, very reputable, top-tier organization that is completely devoted and committed to student success, equity, access, inclusion, all of those things. And they work really hard and partner with many organizations, community colleges across the country to make sure that that happens. I've had the wonderful experience of speaking at Achieving the Dream events, and I still stay connected to them today and work with a lot of the Achieving the Dream leaders. Each school is identified and connected with what they call an Achieving the Dream leader, so I work with those folks today.
That's wonderful. And now put all that, if I may, Amy, into the training that you do. And as you know, we focus your training on the teacher retention side. Okay, but it also has to do with dealing with children with very diverse students. Okay, and that's part of the situation out there. So just put the whole thing together, okay, if you can for us, Amy.
Yeah, so my training focuses on working directly with faculty and staff and even administrators, anyone who comes in direct contact with students. And so what I'm taking my philosophy on is that teachers are compassionate, wonderful people who are committed to students and the human experience. That's why they got in the field to begin with, right?
Yep.
They wanted to be a teacher. They wanted to make an impact, and that's why they got there. So that's what I'm really focused on, and how to give them some tools to be more successful in the classroom with a compassionate approach. And the reason, Larry, that I focus so much on that is because, again, that's why they come into the classroom. But now, especially in post-COVID times, we know that sometimes teachers can feel overwhelmed or disconnected.
Oh, absolutely.
Like they're not making an impact. You know, things have changed post-COVID. People are kind of reevaluating their life and their work and how they're spending their time. But looking at things at how they come across, how they approach students, what kind of classroom management they're using in the classroom and ways to reconnect to those students. So that's what my work does, is help with that.
And I would be remiss if I did. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that Amy wrote a wonderful book that's available on Amazon called Compassionate Teaching. But she uses her real name called Amelia Leighton Gamble. Okay, I call her Amy. What can I tell you? I'll try to get back to the Amelia for the sake of this one. Okay, I can't do it. Forget it. I already give up. All right, I can't do it. And what are you going to do? All right. When you did this, let me swing back to Willie now. Willie, Dr. Thomas, when you brought Amelia, let me try it there, into your school. Okay, what were your goals? And I know it was for the educators, for the professors, okay, for the teachers, all right? Who attended? What was their reactions? And what was the goal when you first brought her in there?
My goal was to do just that, to expose and actually integrate and connect some of our practices by way of teaching, the teaching pedagogy, high impact practice for underserved resource students, marginalized students. And we had, when I say the majority of our faculty was there, I did this session right when we were going back in person from, of course, being distanced with COVID. So I think we had about 80% faculty, which is unheard of. out of all the in-service presentations that we have done, that I've been a part of, we have gotten the biggest response out of the presentation that she presented.
Well, what were the takeaways? Continue, please.
One of the big takeaways from it is, well, think about it. A faculty goes to school. A faculty gets in, gets just pushed and learned, inundated as relates to content. They go to school to content, you know,
That's right.
How to do that. Relates to their engagement component is a part of their persona prior to when they go to school. They don't teach classes in college when you go into discipline studies about compassionate teaching. They assume that that's something that's going to actually be presented. So you have a lot of people that are skilled in their discipline, but they know how to teach content and not teach the students. And that's something the book that Amelia wrote talks about. And so she creates strategies. She creates tactics in order to get not this mindset, I got to teach them math and they got to be at this point, at this start off. No. The student that's there, what are we actually creating in that environment that it can be a teaching and learning center, not just when they come in the classroom, but the overall experience when they walk into that college, that they're learning something. There's something, a life skill that they're going to take with them. And the greatest life skill that you can teach someone is that someone sees me, someone actually cares about me, my life actually matters.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
Go
ahead, Willie. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you.
I understand that sometimes it's easy in those type of settings to be more content-driven. I got to get to this stuff. Instead of seeing the individuals there, they're there for a reason.
Right, and it's the same. This is the same challenge, at least it was when I was in teaching college, okay? They taught us content, okay, and very little back in those days about dealing with the kids. And when you're a subject teacher as opposed to an elementary teacher, okay, you have to get into this idea of compassion and understanding your students and engaging your students. That's this whole SEL move right now these days. And if we don't do that, okay, it has to be trained by the right person. All right. It does.
Right.
And I just have to ask this, Willie. You know, I can talk about K-12 and community college professors. You tell them professional development is coming down the pike. We're going to set up a presentation on Thursday, whatever it is, and you get to go. I love to call it the teacher eye roll. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Okay, you know that.
So
everybody knows that.
We've been blessed that we had a vice president of academic affairs and a president who believes in this. And I talked to her. I was able to make this a part of the in-service, which, you know, teach that they're in-service right before school starts.
Yeah, sure.
Main session. It wasn't like a co-current session where people could choose. No, everything was built upon this particular workshop. And she required it for the members. And so it really helped individuals there. And when I say that when people got there, I have not got one single one to say, when I say they were engaging, they were laughing.
Wow.
And I got so many texts when it was coming to the end. It's like, hey, you got to bring her back.
Did you?
So
is she coming back?
Experience.
She coming back?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
We have things in place for her to be back. This upcoming fall.
Right, I mean, it's just, please, by the way, it's a Southern thing, you're calling me sir, you're welcome to call me Larry, okay, it's
all
a
right.
Southern thing, all my Southern guests do that, I always like to tell them you're welcome to call me Larry, okay, it's a Southern cultural thing, I get it, I love it, I respect it, but you call me Larry if you want to. Amy, you know, this is interesting, Willie's obviously in community college, and we're going to take your training and put it into K-12. All right, and I just want you to go through your background, okay? Amy, you've been doing this work, okay, literally through K-12 in your life, and then not only teaching it but also training. And just talk about your experience and how this is going to work towards in K-12 as well as community colleges as we move this forward together. Amy.
Sure, Larry. So I started my career actually in the K-12 system, and I loved it. I focused mostly on early L, but I taught every grade from kindergarten through high school. I love it. And then I moved. At that time, I was really focused on literacy, as you know, Larry. I was all about reading and teaching people to read. And then I kind of switched and started focusing on the classroom management because I got to the point where I realized that if you don't have good classroom management and you're not engaging with the students, as Willie just mentioned, in a human way and focusing on each student, nothing is going to get accomplished. So I switched my focus and really kind of drilled down on classroom management and how to create an environment in the classroom where all students were recognized, all students were seen, heard, valued, and respected. And then I moved into higher education. So I first started there as an administrator, and Willie knows this, and you know it too, Larry. There's a little bit of a rift there between administration and faculty sometimes, but I was watching. I was watching.
Really?
Both
oh,
students,
really?
So.
I had no idea.
So I started working as an administrator and started developing initiatives in higher education, again, that focused on the student experience and focusing on student success, equity access, and just overall success for students. And then I transitioned into a tenured faculty position and became a professor and taught there. And this whole time this is happening, Larry, I am focused on spreading the word. So I wanted to get the word out. Started speaking at conferences and training other teachers, and sometimes I would work with entire districts on all of those things. So it just has kind of been a natural progression for me until I'm getting, you know, at this point where I'm trying to implement these strategies in both K-12 and in higher ed. So it's been a really great path and a great journey.
And you've done a great job. And by the way, I can't tell you how many times I have mentioned on air your other book, which is called Help, My College Students Can't Read, which grew out of your experience at a Detroit area community college, okay, where kids were graduating well from Detroit and area public high schools, getting to college and reading on a fourth grade level, okay?
Exactly.
And your book, Help, My College Students Can't Read, and when I tell that to people, I mean, they can't believe it. They believe it and they don't believe it. All right? Mm-hmm. And this is the same thing. I have to say this with educators in K-12, okay? We tend to pass kids through, all right? And they may not be ready to be passed through, and we have to be able to understand those kids, et cetera. There's a compassion involved in that. And, Amy, why do you use that word, compassionate? That's what we're talking about, reigniting the passion of educators, okay, in this post-COVID world. Okay, because that's what, besides all the pressures, that's if we reignite them to what they love doing, we're going to solve this teacher retention problem. All right? It's that simple. Okay, so just put the word compassion, again, the name of your book, Compassionate Teaching, into what you do. Why does that matter so much?
So the reason that matters, Larry, is because it depends on how, it's hinged on how we engage with students, right? So one of my favorite quotes is, rules without relationships equal rebellion. So if we come into the classroom as an authoritarian figure and we engage with students in punitive ways, focusing only on their behavior instead of looking at the root cause and what's driving that behavior, we become discontented. We become overwhelmed. We don't focus on those relationships, and then that's when the behaviors start cropping up. And we've all seen that when we're in education. Doesn't matter if we're in kindergarten or we're in junior year of college, behaviors are going to start cropping up. So when you approach things from a compassionate approach with empathy and understanding and care and treating people, again, like the human person that they are, whether they're a little person or an adult person, we're going to start fostering those relationships and creating an environment where they are in a culture of care so that they can be more successful. And actually, Larry, I would also add to that that increases the teacher's experience as well. You know, they're feeling more fulfilled. They're feeling, you know, more impacted. They're rejuvenated. Yeah, exactly.
That's the point. That's the point. Teachers are good people. Okay, they went into this because they're good people. They didn't go into get rich, believe me. Okay, They went into it to make a nice living, but they didn't go into it to get rich. Okay, they care right. about it, but it's tough out there right now, and it's tough. I'm going to say K-20, pre-K-20. It's tough out there. All right, and
it's really
a hard
is,
world right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's how I felt when I came away from Willie's session at his organization. I felt like the teachers, the instructors, the professors there were reignited, rejuvenated, and came away from that session feeling fulfilled.
Willie, comment on that. Did they walk away like that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There was an excitement and an enrichment, and I think. One thing I think the session did, it really brought back the why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes you can get so caught up in doing the work that you forget about the why. And I think at the end of the day, that why rejuvenated the work. And so that was powerful for our campus. That was powerful for the faculty, and we, the impact of it is we had a very we had an awesome and amazing fall semester. We're having an amazing and awesome spring semester as it relates to that. So these are things that are being done that are directly connected to the impact that we were desiring to see.
Well, it's just astounding. I have to ask this. Besides, what we have, there's two impacts we're talking about here, and Willie, talk about this. One is the impact on the teachers, okay, the professors, if I may, okay, and their attitude towards teaching. But the other is the impact on the students, okay, because obviously it filters on down. Have you seen just anecdotally, I guess is the easiest way to put it, okay? What have you seen as a result of all that, as the teachers? Fall in love again with their profession. Okay, that filters down to the kids. Yeah, you know what I mean. By the way, kids at community college can be 30 years old, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
Right. Well, the relationships has always been there. I don't want to put like it wasn't there.
Oh, right.
But what I have seen is intentional practices, intentional things done to reach out to individual students. We've had things like adopting an equity statement on the master syllabus for all our courses. Those are big things and big major steps. Student caring, reaching out, being involved, connecting students to resource. When they see that potentially a student missed class, we have a system in place that, hey, we got all hands on deck. Let's see what's transpiring, something's taking place at home. Those are the type of impact that has trickled down their engagement to the student, and the impact the student's had is their response. Student has responded to it. They have responded by way of acknowledging, hey, thank you for reaching out. No, thank you. I have great, relationships with my instructors. You know, we did a survey at the end of the fall semester just checking out, did you matter in your class? Did you feel a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging with your instructor? Overwhelmingly, yes. Now, we did that survey particular with some of our marginalized students. With our under-resourced students, and it was just tremendous.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. The under-resourced students, okay, if I may, many times need the most help. But they're all. It's also, and especially in a college level, it's the most frustrating to deal with. These are the kids that need the most help, but we have to understand where these kids are coming from. All right?
Right,
and we have to put the time in, et cetera, et cetera. And it's hard to do, and you have to have the right mindset to do it, et cetera. Amy, I want to ask you, when you look at schools today, okay, and you look at the educators out there, just talk in your mind when you go in. What are the barriers, okay, to success and school wellness that are out there right now? And you mentioned before in terms of COVID. COVID hurt us. Okay, not only hurt us, it killed a lot of people, obviously, okay, but it hurt us in a lot of ways. It changed things, some of them for the better, I hope. We did learn some things from it, but I'd hate to waste the opportunity of the pain of all that and not make some solid changes. But what do you see as the barriers out there and how to overcome them? Amy, Professor Gamble.
Yeah. I think some of the barriers, like you said, Larry, you know, COVID has really caused a lot of stress, not only for our students, but for our teachers as well. We can't forget our teachers. I think that there's some barriers. I think there's, you know, we really have to offer some help. I think that there's the barriers of not having the training available, not having programs available, not having substitute teachers. We have a massive substitute teacher shortage right now going on in our K-12 systems across the country. We need to support that. I think that there's a lack of supports for the teachers and the students when they're in need of something, so whether it's mental health resources or behavior specialist resources for the teachers and the students. I think that's another barrier. I think that there's a lack of understanding a lot of times for the teachers and the students. Again, that lack of empathy, lack of compassion, lack of knowing how to handle challenging situations in a constructive way. I think that, again, Larry, when we think about these things, that this compassion and caring for others is really at the core. I really think it is. When we think about having compassion and care and empathy and teachers are happy to be at work, then that reduces teachers' absenteeism. It reduces employee burnout. It reduces their propensity to leave the profession. And I think it was you, Larry, that shared with me in our last conversation some data that you had reported that 48% of teachers are either leaving or thinking about leaving the profession right now. So
that's right.
We really need to kind of, you know, offer the help and support that they need. They definitely deserve that.
Right. And add to that, and Willie, you can attest to this, the cohorts in education schools, okay, are dropping.
Yeah.
The pipeline is shrinking, all right, for good educators, for well-trained educators.
Yeah.
All right, and education, I remind people of this. Education is about learning, and learning is a science. And you can't just take someone out of the clear blue sky and throw them in front of kids in a classroom. That's not a teacher.
Yeah.
That's a babysitter. Okay.
Yeah, Larry, I'd also add to that. That's a good point, and I would add to that that compassion is the same way. As Willie talked about earlier, we don't learn these things in college. So we think that organically that teachers are going to know how to connect with students and to understand their behaviors and approach them with compassion and empathy, but they're not. It doesn't happen like that. And I think, again, that that's why they need specific training, as Willie mentioned, those high impact strategies earlier. They need to know what those are in order to be effective.
They do. They do indeed. And Willie, I know you're bringing Amy back to the college, et cetera. Amy's training is available with us. We have it at teacher-retention.com. Okay. And you can go over there, everybody, and check it all out. How do you want to end this one, Amy? Go ahead. Talk to me. Finish it up. Summarize it. Professor
Gamble. In summary, I think, again, just to kind of reiterate the point that we have these wonderful teachers. They're committed to students. They want them to be successful. Again, that's why they got into the profession to begin with. It's our time to help and support our teachers, give them the support they need, give them the best practices, give them the strategies. It will create a culture of care in the classroom. The students will feel more connected. There's that sense of belonging that Willie was talking about, which is going to be huge in 2022, 2023, that inclusion piece and sense of belonging, having people feel like they belong because we've been disconnected in COVID. We need to have that back. And I think that we need to move forward in that way with a culture of care. So I see benefits for the teachers. I see benefits for the students. And I see benefits for the organization as a whole. Again, keeping our students there. Everybody wants to retain their students, whether we're in college or K-12. K-12 systems have school of choice. They know that those parents have a choice now. They can take their kids out and go somewhere else. And certainly students know in higher ed they can go somewhere else if they're not feeling that they belong and that they're seen and heard and valued at that institution.
Well, even better than I could do, Amy. That was great.
That was good.
That was good. That was good. Willie, summarize from you, just from your point of view, what everybody learned from what Amy taught, and just the value of all this.
Amelia,
can you top that?
You know,
it's the old, can you top that?
Yeah, I know.
I
will say that there's an old saying that people don't want to know what you know until they know that you care. And I think that culture of care and that culture of respect is the foundation in which learning can actually take place. And learning is an impartation, you imparting into someone knowledge. And I think it starts with just getting rid of that's part of the being the barriers. And I say this too, I think coming in, it's going to be very, very important for this compassion to be at the forefront, because teachers are burnt out. They were burnt out before COVID. COVID just took what the last bit that was left. I think it's getting back to our why and creating an environment where all of our feelings and all of our values will matter, where people can feel where they're included and where they have a sense of belonging to be in that classroom.
Well, that was a pretty good follow-up, Willie. I got to tell you, that was pretty darn good.
It was great.
Wow. I love it. You guys are terrific. You really are. And, Amy, we're going to do great things together, bringing this into community colleges and down into K-12. It's just great. Willie, you come back on any time. Talk to us, okay? I love what you're doing over there.
Oh, man,
I'd
love to.
Okay, you were terrific, man. So have a great time. By the way, I do love Chattanooga. It's really a cool town. It's a lot more than
yes,
that choo-choo. It's a lot of fun over down
yes,
there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it is.
Yes,
good,
sir.
Good part of the world. Okay, thank you, Willie. And Amy, I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, have a great day. Thanks for having us, Larry.
Oh, my pleasure indeed.
Thank you,
anytime.
Larry.
Talk to you both.
All
bye-bye.
Right. All right.
Bye. Okay, Dr. Willie Thomas. Willie is the assistant to the president for equity and inclusion at Cleveland State Community College down near Chattanooga in Tennessee, which really is a good part of the world, by the way. Okay. If you've never been there, go down there. It's really fun. All right. And thank you, Willie. And he has brought this training to his faculty and staff, and it has worked. We're working with Amelia Leighton Gammel. Okay, and you can check out what we're doing with her and bringing this training, because we are so concerned about teacher retention. All right, and I know Amy's stuff works. All right, over at teacher-retention.com. It's also linked at ace-ed.org. All right, so please check it all out. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and all of you just have a great weekend.